embarrassing. I was talking with Jonathan before, and he actually brought up the verse out there. See, I did forget my Bible, so he's probably right. he brought it. He was showing me a verse from John chapter 15, where it says that we can do, you know, Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and we can do nothing without him. I mean, we can try to do things, but I mean, who can open someone's eyes to actually see and understand that God exists? I mean, what words could you say to open up spiritual eyes so that someone is aware that God is with them? We don't have any ability to do that. Everything that is important in our lives that happens, God does those things. And I'm just grateful to have been able to see God work so powerfully in all of your lives. And I think being a part of this body, and you know, when I first became pastor, one of the things that I said is, you know, I'm not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. And I think a lot of times people say that, but they don't really understand it. But if you've been a member of the same church for 15 years, when you're thrust into leading the church, you understand that these are my brothers and sisters, and God is working their life just like mine. I'm not different. I'm just grateful that we're all in unity together seeking God. I was going to do something else, but as you can see, we have had a very, very packed service with all kinds of wonderful things in it. And so I'm going to push back what we were going to do in James another week. And I'm going to just turn to Revelation chapter 1 if you want to turn with me. Yes. Say that again. Oh, sorry. I'm forgetting everything. We're back to normal. Okay. All right. Well, I'm just going to read from Revelation chapter 1 because it really pulls in two verses together. All the things that we have been witnessing today, in all of them, Lamar and Grace and Heidi and Christopher and my mom and Jonathan. And I'm just going to read this little section out of chapter 1 that really puts salvation in a nutshell. And it says this: all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from his sins. If you're trying to follow along, I'm going to back up and start with verse. I'll start with verse 4 because there are commas in here. So let me go back and start with verse 4. It says, this letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. And from the sevenfold spirit, that means the complete spirit, before his throne. So what God wants for us is he wants us to have lives of grace and lives of peace. And from Jesus Christ, he is the faithful witness to these things and the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. So he starts off and he says, God wants grace and peace for you. And Jesus Christ is head ruler over everything. And he continues here, and he says, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God, his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. That's really the complete gospel, is that God loved us and Jesus Christ died for our sins to set us free from sin. I want you to think about that statement. He died to set us free from sin. And he has made us a kingdom of priests. So at one point, we see that we were living in sin. And that's a confusing term for a lot of people, because we're so behavior-oriented that we think that sins are things we do, but the sins that we do come out of the sin that's in our heart, and the sin that's in our heart is exactly what Jonathan said. He was skeptical about whether or not he could listen to God, whether or not he could trust what was being said. And so he wasn't listening and looking to see what God was trying to explain to him about who God really is, because his concept was not correct, about who he was, because when we have a distorted concept of God, pretty soon we get a distorted concept of ourselves and other people. And so he's trapped in this life, just like every single one of us, where he is living, leaning on his own understanding. And the Bible tells us real clearly that the thoughts and the ways of God are like the heavens above the earth. So if I'm operating my life down here based upon my own understanding where I can't see the big picture, I can't understand what's in other people's hearts. I don't understand the unintended consequences of what I do. Sometimes I do things that I think are going to work out only to find out it was a horrible decision. I cannot comprehend in my own mind enough about the world and what all is happening that I can't see and what's happening in the hearts of other people to know what I should do. So if I am living my life based on my own understanding, I'm going to come up far short of what God would want for me. So God's got a path for me, but I'm not interested in it. I'm thinking about what I want. And so I'm trapped in what the Bible calls sin. It's a rejection of God. It can be hostile and it can be aggressive. We all recognize that's bad. Or it can be passive. I just hear and don't regard. I just do what I think is best. I live life as I think is best. And so I have not acknowledged God in all my ways. I have ignored God. I've pushed him basically out of the picture as far as my life concerned. If I can't figure it out, it's got no meaning for me in my life. And as we get older, we start to realize that sin is a prison. We can't see that big picture. We make decisions and we do things and we chase after things that enslave us. And we don't know how to get out of them. And so what we do is we justify those things. I was having a conversation with someone just a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at this verse. And they were talking and trying to understand what that meant. How can people not understand what the truth is on their own? How can they have a distorted view of what God says? And I asked them this question. I said, let me ask you this question, because I know that you had a history of alcohol abuse. When's the last time that you took a drink? And they thought, and they said, 35 years ago. And I said, well, when is the last time that the temptation for you to drink alcohol and be controlled by alcohol was so strong that you could not resist it? And they thought for a minute and said, 35 years ago. I said, well, when's the last time that you were tempted to take a drink over those 35 years? And they said, well, many times. And I said, well, when was the last time that you were not able to overcome that because of your faith in Christ and the value system that he gave you, where you don't want to be dominated by something? And they said, 35 years. And I said, well, then you're not an alcoholic. And they stopped and they thought and they said, you know, I believe that. I believe that. And yet, for many, many people, because the world has told us that if you're an alcoholic, you will always be an alcoholic. If you are addicted to pornography, you will never not be able to be thinking about that. It will dominate your thoughts forever. That sin or that attitude that is against what God wants, that focuses on what God doesn't want and is controlling you so that you just can't stop from doing that, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's obsessive compulsive behavior, you can never be free from that. You will always be that person where it dominates your life. That's exactly opposite of what the Bible says. That's exactly opposite of the gospel. The gospel says this, that the love of God and the power of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God can set you what? It can set you free. In other words, just like many people that we have in here, they have been controlled by things that if they may have done them in moderation would have been all right, but they couldn't do them in moderation. They couldn't drink a drink of alcohol in moderation. They drank to the point that it ruined their family. They drank to the point that it ruined, that they lost their job. They drank to the point that it controlled them and the things they wanted in life they could not overcome until they met Christ. And their life has been transformed and they have been free. And yet our culture and the way we think about things, we sometimes still send the message with our words that what God says is not true. I've been freed from alcohol for 35 years, but I consider myself an alcoholic. You see the discrepancy in how the world thinks and how God thinks? And how the message gets confusing to people? And how people start to look and they start to think, okay, does God really save us from sin? Does God really, is he able to overcome sin in our lives? Is he actually able to set my heart free so that I want what God wants instead of want what has captured and has enthroned me? Yes, God sets us free. And we need to just clearly be able to understand the simple gospel. The simple good news that God offers is this, that we are born into a place where we are kind of dead spiritually. We don't see God. We can't feel him. We can't sense where he wants us to do. We don't understand what life is other than the physical and emotional feelings that we have. And so that's how we live. But God doesn't want to leave us in that state where we're separated from him, where we can't see him, we can't love him, we can't understand him. Most of us end up a little bit being angry at him because he didn't do what we think he should do for our lives. Because we can't see what he wants for our lives. And for some reason, God pursues us. My mom was in her mid to late 30s before God's pursuing actually came into place and all of the different things that the world had told her that made her not be able to see the truth of God. He chipped away at those things until all of a sudden it became clear to her. I know something's missing in my life, but I don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, God brought the pieces together and she saw what it was. And when she gave her heart to Christ, everything changed. Now, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a process of us learning and growing in those things. It was. But she had a different heart. She wanted to know what God wanted. She wanted to do what God wanted. She was listening to God. She was picking up the scriptures, which is in black and white, preserved for us, so I don't have to worry if Kevin got it all right or if Tim, you know, has some of it right and some of it wrong. It's right in here. And as I search for God with an open heart, he starts to reveal to me, he really does love me. He starts to reveal to me, he is wiser than maybe the world. That if I obey and follow and live the way he wants me to, he is able to put those pieces together to make my life something wonderful that I would have never imagined could have possibly happened. And our faith grows and grows and grows. It grows because our faith is in God and we experience God when we listen to him and we follow him. And that new heart he gives us becomes stronger and stronger, and our commitment to love the Lord becomes stronger and stronger, and our faith becomes stronger to whereas when things in life happen that used to knock us down or discourage us or upset us, we can take them in stride because we know God's got a plan in all of it. And so what happens is, without even trying, our lives become a statement to the people around us, something is different with Todd. Something's different with Arthur. They don't see life the same way. They don't fall apart when things that most people fall apart with. They are able to show mercy and love other people when most people would be angry and upset and offended. Something's different with these people. And the only explanation is they love the Lord. And somehow they believe that God is guiding them through life. And that happens and it grows because Christ died to give us a relationship with God. And so we become a kingdom of priests. And a priest is just somebody who has a good firm hold on God's hand. And he looks over and sees somebody who's struggling to find God, and he just kind of grabs a hold and he says, "Hey, let me introduce you. Let me help you see some things that you're not seeing that keep you from not believing that the God who created you cares about you." Because God cares about us and he loves us. And I just love those two verses right there in Revelation before you start all of the things about what's going to happen in the future. God says, "Hey, don't forget this is what salvation is. I love you. I sent my son to die on the cross for you to set you free from sin so that you can have a new life in Christ, a good life in Christ, the fullness of life that Christ promises us, that you can be full of love, that you can be at rest and at peace, knowing that God is going to do something significant with your life. And because you're free from sin and because you're free from all of that turmoil and worry that things won't work out, you can love. You can love other people. I don't need anything from you. God has given me more than I could ever hope for." And I love how it ends up. It says, "All glory and power to him forever and ever." You know what brings glory to God? And all that means is, you know what shows God to be as great? Our changed lives. The hearts that we have. The ability that we have not to hate, not to be bitter, not to be angry, not to be vindictive, not to try to fight to get what we want and make sure someone else doesn't take from us, to be honest, to be generous, to be caring, to love other people and see them more important than things. The things that make our lives rich because of the relationships that God allows us to have because we live that way. We can't outgive God. We give ourselves to him, and what does he give us? Life in all our fullness. But he frees us to do that. And when we think about the good news of Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? There's freedom. And that is freedom from sin. Or let me put it another way. It's freedom from a self-centered, self-absorbed, self-seeking life. It's the freedom to trust and to follow God and to let him open up doors we never thought could be opened. To overcome problems that we never thought could be overcome. I mean, many of you have been here 25 years. You know who I am. You know I've made mistakes. It's a miracle I'm ever a pastor. It's a miracle that God overcame things in my life from bad choices I made. If I had it to do over again, I would have probably got out of college and gone to seminary. Not doing that, I thought, you know, well, that's it. I'm 50 years old. I can't go back and do that now. And God can give us wisdom studying his word without a teacher doing it. Or how many of you know there are all kinds of teachers all around us? God can do all kinds of things, but what he definitely does is he gives us a life we can't believe we have. We are so grateful to God. And that's the gospel. What I want you to do right now is just bow your head. I just want you to take just a moment and make this a sacred moment where you're allowing the Spirit of God to continue to speak to you and you're responding. And you may be sitting here and you may be realizing that God is present. You may be realizing that there is something that I haven't had in my life that's missing, and I want to know what that is. And whatever's on your heart, whether it's just a gratefulness for where God has brought you, or whether it's a seeking and a desire for more, maybe you're sitting here and God has just put on your mind someone you love desperately, someone that you want to not go through this life and miss the real value of life and miss that eternal connection with God. But whatever God is speaking in your heart right now, I'm going to give you just a few moments just to pray, to converse with Him. Father, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ dying on that cross for us, and the way everything was orchestrated according to what you had predicted from hundreds of years before, so that we might understand you. And as he was on that cross and he uttered those words before he died, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, we relate to that. And we are so grateful, and we plead and we ask for that forgiveness, and we're so grateful to know that even though you created us and put us on this earth and we ignored all of the signs and all of the ways that you tried to get our attention, and we just lived our own lives thinking that's how we had to go and that's what we needed and this was what would bring us pleasure, and we didn't know what it was like to have your love in our life. Father, you created us and you sought us out and you spoke in our hearts, and we respond. We respond and we say thank you. Thank you for wiping our sins away. Thank you for opening your kingdom and a relationship with you to us. And God, we want to know you. We want to follow you. And we want our lives to just show how great you are. And so just as Jesus Christ gave his life for us that our eyes might be open on that cross, we give our lives to you as a living sacrifice. And we thank you for loving us. Now we're going to spend just a moment more as you finish praying and whatever is on your heart. And Alan and Cindy are just going to sing over us.
Lord, open up my eyes to see what you have seen. I ask for your forgiveness where forgiveness has not been. So rejoice, my soul, rejoice. The power of sin is gone. Your mercy brought me to this place. Your grace will lead me home. Though I keep falling, you still calling out my name and embrace me once again. What a good and faithful friend. I know you're grieving, so that's why I'm leaving sin behind. For the grace
that an amazing thought that God wants to be our friend. He was Abraham's friend. God loves us, and God wants our lives to be filled with forgiveness and mercy and grace so that we can be as free in our hearts as He is. Every interaction we have with other people is out of love. And I just thank you guys. I know I feel a little awkward there because I feel a little guilty when like Sean comes up and does that, because it feels like almost like I'm kind of trying to take a little credit for what God has done. But I love each one of you, and I think we all feel the same way in that we are blessed to be in a place where people love each other, care about each other, will help each other, and see each other. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Well, I thank you for loving Christ, for serving Him, and may you have a wonderful week.